Defoles mit What Went Down. Flux FM am Montagnachmittag. Heute Abend spielt die Band aus Oxford, die mittlerweile aber von London aus operiert, in der Columbia Halle. Und jetzt sind zwei Menschen aus der Band bei mir im Studio und wir quatschen nochmal über die aktuelle Platte What Went Down, die ja in Oxford komponiert wurde und im schönen La Fabrique Studio in Südfrankreich aufgenommen. Wir sprechen über die neu erlernte Fähigkeit der Band beim Produzieren einer LP auch mal erste Ideen und sogenannte First Takes zuzulassen. Wir finden heraus, inwiefern die Pixies die Lyrics vom neuen Album mit inspirierten. Wir reden auch nochmal drüber, wie wichtig es ist, innerhalb einer Band ehrlich diskutieren zu können. Wir quatschen über James Ford, den man ja auch als Musiker kennt, und über vieles, vieles mehr. Zunächst aber heißt es nochmal Hello and welcome, Yannis and Jimmy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Yeah, good.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're coming from the UK right now?
Yeah, we came from Leeds, yeah. So we got here last night, took it easy, had a sauna.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. Oh, that's so chilling. A bit of sauna. Oh, especially in this time of the year, it's important to get some temperature into your system again.
Also good to sweat all the horrible things from tour.
So congratulations on LP number 4, What Went Down. It's been out for a while, though I want to talk about it a little more. You've recorded it in the south of France with James Ford, and I read that you kind of learned to let things go a bit while recording, meaning that there's more first takes on the LP and you tried not to overthink ideas. Where's that coming from? Did you trust James Ford as a producer that much, or was it just because of the fact that it's the fourth LP and you've gone into a certain routine with the music.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's just from our own experience of realizing what works. And like sometimes in the past, I think, you know, when you're working on an album for a long period of time, you can lose a certain initial charm in it. So we wanted to try and capture that kind of first expression and the spontaneity of that. Yeah. We also trusted James though as well, so that was part of it. But I think that essentially it came from within us and wanting to kind of capture that. That explosive creativity at the beginning, you know?
Yeah, and I've read that the lyrics for Mountain and My Gates, for example, were written in the studio. That's something new for you as a band, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I leave the lyrics till the last minute, depending on like how I'm feeling about it. But with Mountain and My Gates, it's more, you know, it's as much just that it didn't feel like there was a kind of real effort to write the lyrics. They just sort of happened quite naturally.
Yeah. And those are the best things that can happen to you as a band, right?
Yeah.
If something just arrives in the room where you're playing or recording stuff.
That's what makes it all worth it.
James Ford, we've just mentioned him. He's not only a great producer, but also a very well-known musician who's with Simian Mobile Disco. You worked on your first record with Dave Sitek for TV on the Radio. Is it important for you guys to work with a producer who's also a musician? Because I think that can be kind of intimidating as well in comparison to have one guy who's only an engineer and he goes like, oh, I can make those frequencies sound nice. Have a guy who's like, oh, I don't know if the C part of the song before the chorus is necessary or something.
Well, I think like both sides are good. Like if you just work with an engineer, you know, you're sort of left on your own. But equally, working with a musician, I could see how they could like overstep the mark and like try and get too involved. But with James and with Dave, to an extent, it's like it enabled the fact that they could play the songs like on piano or guitar. Mm-hmm. He was always kind of constantly playing along, so it meant that he understood the songs from our perspective.
Cool,
which was pretty cool. So if we did ever get any problems, he could help solve them. Okay, you know. Cool.
But he's not too involved into the composition part of the whole thing.
No, I think if anything, we wanted somebody that would understand the musical construction, that would help take the songs to the next level. Because sometimes, you know, we can take it only so far. So it's kind of nice to feel like there's somebody else that can like push the extra 10%.
Yeah, and so you were happy with James's work.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good producer. He knows how to get the balance right. You know?
Yeah, and it's something that is really important, I think, for a good producer, because there's so much psychology happening when you're working with a band. You can do so many things wrong.
Yeah. You've got to be good with people. Yeah. You've got to understand people probably more than music.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it feels a lot of the time like it's more psychological than technical.
Yeah,
particularly with there's five of us, so there's a lot of different contradicting opinions. And, you know, there's just a lot of, and we're quite particular, I think, about what we want. So I think that we're probably not the easiest band to produce in the world, you know?
James managed it.
He did.
Very well way. An interesting fact about the LP is that you wrote it in Oxford, but you recorded it in the south of France, just a stone's throw away from the place where Vincent van Gogh went nuts and cut his ear off. That's a little thing about the record that I really like a lot.
It's close
to the place where Vincent cut his ear off.
Yeah.
I love that part of the story. But how do places and rooms form and influence an album? Because I've read that you loved to write the songs in Oxford and to record them in France, and there's so many different opinions on the effect of a place on an album. Some people say, well, we would have recorded the same thing in London or something, but what's your opinion on that?
I think it's hard to know, obviously, how different places affect it. The one thing that we know for sure is that it's good writing in Oxford, largely because it's a very kind of Spartan environment. We don't have a lot of luxury in the room that we write. It's very stripped back. So if something sounds good in Oxford, we know it's going to sound good in the final product.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think that's good is just taking the songs from one place to another. So not to take, you know, the songs that you've been writing, you take them out of the environment they're written and put them in a new one, and you get a different perspective on how they sound, and you see different things in them by moving the context. If we were to write and record the whole record in the same place, I think you wouldn't get that benefit of perspective that you do when you relocate the songs into a different environment.
And I've read that the studio in the south of France was kind of like a pretty calming surrounding. You could basically really concentrate on the album, and it must have been nice to record.
I mean, it was beautiful, and it was a really old building, so, like, you know, I guess, like, the rooms do affect when you're playing, because, you know, if you're playing the same guitar part or piano part or whatever in, like, a bright room, like an office building, you know, or in an old room with stone walls and, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years of history, it's like, it's going to feel better in the old room, you know. It's like, you're going to play better. It's more romantic, you know. You believe more in what you're doing. Like, I don't know. It's just nice, isn't it?
So how will you move into London affect the upcoming Force Music? Because I've read that you moved to London not too long ago.
Yeah. I don't know exactly really how it would affected the music. I think it was good for me on a personal level just to change my habits, because I was being in Oxford for so long, and maybe some of the lyrics are influenced by being in a bigger city where there's more anonymity. It's a very different environment from Oxford. And Oxford's a very small city. I'd known it so well that it'd become kind of staid and a bit too familiar. And I think that I was interested in just the layers of history in London, and like the fact that it's this big overpowering place. You know, I like the fact that it was something that was much bigger than me. And I think that there's definitely certain lyrics that are tied in with that feeling of maybe being adrift in a big city. And how an urban environment can affect you.
But will you return to that spontaneous environment in Oxford to write the next record, maybe?
Yeah, I think we will, yeah. We were already, actually, some of us were already living in London when we wrote this one, so we went back to Oxford purposely write this one. So we might well do that on the next one. We haven't really talked about it yet, but...
Yeah, okay, cool. Let's listen to another song off the new record, and then we talk a bit more, and then we're going to give away some tickets for tonight's show at Columbia Halle. Here's D. Foles with Give It All, Auf Lux FM. Folds mit Give It All nochmal auf Flux FM, 16:25 Uhr. Ihr hört die Morning Show am Nachmittag, und bei mir im Studio sind immer noch Jimmy und Janis, der Gitarrist und der Sänger von den Folds. Speaking about giving it all, you guys still seem to love being on tour. You do have a certain enthusiasm when one's looking at your live shows. There's a lot of energy happening, and that's something that's remarkable, I think, for a band that's been on the road for over 10 years now. I mean, you started in 2005 and you've been touring for years now. Is there a trick? Is there something that you use as a trick to keep that enthusiasm going? Or am I totally wrong and you're like fucked up now and you'd be like, oh, we need a break. Yeah. I want to go for a solo career and stuff.
No, I think, I don't know. I think it's basically just if you love music, then you realize that it's a blessing to get to be on stage every night. There's aspects of like traveling with the touring that can be, sometimes can be a drag. Mm. But basically, if you remember that what you get to do every night is special, and that's the best thing. I think we all thrive off playing live. We basically love the physicality of it, the adrenaline of it. And it's a way of making the experience of making music more real and also more personal, because you see the reactions of you see the results of what you craft on your own.
Yeah, and that's something that you have to love nowadays, especially because selling records alone isn't going to it for you, right?
Yeah, that just doesn't exist anymore, really, that side of the business in that way. So
yeah, so it's a good thing that you love touring. And I really see that you sometimes do love to kind of lose yourself on stage as well. How important is that to be able to kind of lose yourself on stage when you're performing?
I mean, it's pretty important, I think, because otherwise you just feel self-conscious and it's all kind of wooden. Yeah. And so, like, we have some things we do to get into the frame of mind. You know, we drink a fair amount before every show and during the shows. And I think that it's in order to break down that kind of self-consciousness so that you can get into like more of a trance-like state.
Yeah.
In some ways, I don't actually think it's a million miles away from like some sort of shaman taking ayahuasca. Yeah. And communicating with, you know, there's an element of it that's the same. And I think that that's kind of our role, is to be there and to connect with the energy that's in the room and with the people. And then obviously try and not make mistakes when we're playing the songs. But like basically the core thing is to do with the energy and capturing the energy.
Yeah. And that's another thing though, that you have to love to be able to do it right. I think you have to love the idea of losing yourself on stage and to get out of your own
body,
out of your body as well sometimes. I really think another thing that I've read today is that you did listen to Pixies records to get inspired for lyrics a bit. What can one learn from the Pixies and Frank Black as a lyricist?
I mean, I've always really liked the Pixies. They're one of the first bands that I got into, and I think we all really like them in the band. Just for me, it was important to remember that when I was like 13 and I first started hearing the Pixies, that with his lyrics, there's a kind of surreal cartoon-esque like violence to them. It's not very like structured in a narrative way. It's kind of, it's fragmented.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes before I'd got overly caught up in trying to make all of the words and the story make narrative sense.
Yeah.
And it was just important to remember that actually it's just their lyrics. It's not like you're having to write a novel that's going to be reviewed in the Sunday Times or something. It's like, it's just about imagery and about something that's childlike. A lot of the best lyrics are very innocent and very naive, and they're not polished.
Yeah.
So I just kind of wanted to go back to that place of remembering when I was young, and that his lyrics affected me deeply, even though in many ways they weren't telling a specific story.
Yeah, sometimes you don't really get what he's singing about, right? You're like, what is he telling me?
But it doesn't matter, you know?
No, it really doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's a cool thing to remember. I really think so.
Yeah.
So that's been a cool school part, to listen back to the Pixies again.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So that was really inspiring.
Yeah, cool. So what can people expect from tonight's show? Is this going to be a best of all the LPs show, or are you concentrating on the new material or something like that?
It's a pretty good mix of all the albums. I think we've tried hard to blend them in together as much as possible. So, yeah, I think at the moment, like, the set list is pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I want to wish you the best of luck for tonight's show. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you
for this quick interview. And I'm going to give away some tickets for tonight's show now real quick. Wer heute Abend also in die Columbia-Halle möchte, zu den großartigen Folds, die, wie sie uns gerade versprochen haben, alle Alben oder die besten Songs aus allen Alben nochmal präsentieren werden. Wer dann dabei sein möchte, der kann uns jetzt anrufen unter der 030 2009000. Berlin 2009000 ist die Nummer. Zum Glück, mein Kollege Marc Augustat schreibt euch auf eine Liste, wenn ihr ganz schnell anruft. 030 2009000. So I want to thank you, Yannis and Jimmy, for
thank
this
you.
Quick interview again. As soon as you visit Berlin the next time, you come and visit us.
Absolutely,
again.
Of course.
Maybe even as a private person, we will give you tickets for another band's show.
And
you
can, all right,
cool. You can just relax and watch the others do
it. Yeah, that'll be nice.
Okay, so thank you, and I'll see you soon. Bye.
Thanks
bye.
A lot. Thank Cheers, you. Mate.